Blog Talk Radio.
A year ago, my life had collapsed around me. I'd worked myself into exhaustion. My father died suddenly, and my relationships were in turmoil. Little did I know at the time, out of my greatest despair was to come the greatest gift.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, October the 21st, 2014, and you are tuned into Step Into Your Power with Fianna. I am your host, Fianna Sharon Huff, and I have an amazing an empowering show for you this morning. We are going to be talking to spoken word artists, poets, authors, and publishers on the subject, why is literacy literally imperative in the community? So are my guests on the line this morning?
Good morning.
Because we have so many wonderful guests on this morning, I want you to each introduce yourselves and then to briefly talk about who you are and what you do, and then we're going to get into the show. Who wants to start?
Good morning. Hello. I'll start. This is Apostle Rachel Watson. I am the co-founder of Myra Enterprises, which I own with my husband. And what we are doing is we are preparing people and equipping them to walk in their purpose. And we do this in the areas of health and wellness, spiritual growth and development, and author development. We are the owners of Kingdom Consultants, and we are a self-publishing consulting company.
All right.
Wonderful.
My name is Tamika Wynn, born, and I'm an author, filmmaker, and I also own Lavender Real Media Group and Lavender Real Publishing. Taking some of my experiences as a filmmaker and author, and now turning it into an opportunity to work with others via commercials, PSAs. Any type of video production work, but also as a tool to help authors get published as well.
All right. Well, hello. Hello. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, good morning again, everybody. Hi. Okay, this is Clarity, a.k.a. Kiki Johnson. I am, I guess the condensed bio would be basically I am an educator. I am also a student at the moment. Coach, author, writer, poet, and pretty much all-around youth and family service advocate, both locally as well as couple of connections and friends that I have out of the area as well.
Welcome. Anyone else on the line? Okay, outside of Tamika, Apostle Rachel, and Clarity, do we have anyone else that's on? Okay, ladies, well, we are going to get started with those that we have on the line. My first question is, how do you step into your power with regards to literacy? And anyone can take this, starting out.
Well, this is Apostle Ray. I would say that, you know, literacy is the key to knowledge. And so if we want to learn something, we want to know something, it's all locked up in a book. It's just a matter of finding the right book. But, you know, how do you walk into your power? You open the book and you educate yourself. You never stop being a student. You never think that you know it all, but you continue to learn, continue to grow through increasing your knowledge.
I guess this pretty much is up my alley, what I deal with on a day-to-day basis as an educator, as well as an artist as well. Legacy is a huge part of what I do. To be honest, it's probably one of the most, one of the main areas that really drew me into doing, into embracing and enjoying the arts, being that pretty much that's the center of what I do with dealing with poetry, writing, et cetera. Words, just in of themselves, always fascinated me. The way that they sound, understanding what they mean, understanding multiple meanings actually to words, the ability to change meanings. Oftentimes, the way that we talk, how different people speak, this language in of itself being so varied and just running the gamut of so many possibilities that are there, with just understanding linguistics, period. And I definitely want to piggyback and agree with what Apostle Rachel just said. It's definitely, the information is just there. It's so much that can happen, and it's just open your mind to of just opening up, not necessarily even a book all the time, but just understanding wording and language, period, both how to use it effectively, understanding it as well, is so key. Virtually just your survival out in the world today, to be honest, especially for our young people.
I agree.
I would just really agree with both ladies. I think that there's so much knowledge in a book, and even now with the technology that we have for those who are not, you know, able to, you know, go to the libraries or purchase certain books online, you can Google anything and the knowledge is there just through reading. With that being said, before we talk about the power, we have to talk about some of the obstacles, and we'll come around to that, I'm sure, in another question, so I don't want to go jump too far in advance. But, you know, there are certain reasons why people don't have the ability to have the freedom to use literacy, whether it's through, and like I said, let me stop before I go too far, because I don't want to jump too far into the questions that you already have planned. But knowledge is power, and through literacy, there's nothing that you can't learn. Even if you can't get it through schooling, you can pick up a book, you can go online, you can learn almost anything. And as Kiki said, you know, even if it's not through a book, you know, you have YouTube. They have so many tutorials now. It's nothing unavailable to us. We just have to seek it.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually, you know, we are so in tune, all of us who are on the line, and I personally made sure I reached out to you all to be a part of the show, because I knew that you all were in alignment and on the same thinking path as me and being passionate about literacy and our youth and et cetera. And you were not ahead of yourself, Tamika, because my next question was going to relate to what you had said. But what I'll say first is, when I was growing up, I absolutely loved reading. And it wasn't anything that someone had to tell me, my grandparents, my mother, anyone in the church. I just gravitated towards it because I knew I was going to be a writer and a journalist in my future. I will say that when I attended Norfolk State University, I was part of the Student Support Services Program, and Ms. Terry Venable, who at the time was one of the counselors there, she's now actually in charge of the entire Student Support Services Department, but she was very encouraging of me to take my reading a step further, and she was giving me thicker and more intense books. So I definitely want to shout out Miss Venable, and thank her so much for just encouraging me, because I'm a lover of books. I'm a lover of the art, of poetry, spoken word, and my children are as well. So the question is, one, was literacy something that was nurtured in your home? And then I'll go on to the next question.
I would say for me, yes. I'm sorry, this is Tamika. I would say for me, yes, it was. And yes, because I'll go too far. I'm sorry.
literacy, of course, was encouraged whenever I would go to my mom and say, well, Mom, how do you spell such and such? And she would say, go look it up. You know, she would never spell it for me. She would make me go grab my dictionary, and she would make me, you know, look up the word, find out how to spell it, and then read the definition of it. So, you know, literacy was definitely encouraged in my home. Now, I was not an avid reader. I did not enjoy reading. I did good in English. I was a great writer. I started journaling at 15, but I did not enjoy reading a lot. I actually literally taught myself how to gloss over a page without actually being able to say, yeah, I read it, but not even comprehend what was there. So, you know, it wasn't until I got older that I started realizing that I needed to read, and I began reading, and I became a researcher, and God just, you know, orchestrated my life. But yes, it was encouraged at home. I'm going too far, Tamika. I'm sorry.
I totally agree with both ladies. It's so funny, actually, the last story, I can totally relate. Now, I was sitting over here along with smiling and laughing, listening to you, but kind of sort of holding back a little bit of tears. Something you made me think of with my upbringing with my mom, being that she is no longer with me. But I would have to credit her for where that was encouraged in my home. I mean, from both of my parents, but my mother in particular, it started from, ironically, only those that are, like, very, very, very close to me know this. My deferment, as we like to say, I guess, name, my full name, quite very unique is all I'm going to say. And I liked it very much as a child, but I embraced it as time went on. And my mother would explain to me, first off, why, in fact, I had a different name. There was no one else in my class with that name, and or ever, really, not anywhere, and so forth. And it was like I would get tired of always, as the last lady just said, coming and being like, how do you write this? How do you spell it? And, you know, at some point you reach that age in school, it's like, okay, you know, now we have to start learning your name. We're going to learn how to write these things on our desk and your name tag and your cubby and so forth. And I was like, Bobby, I don't how to spell this or how to spell my name. Write it. I hate this name. And it grew from there, actually going through different techniques and teaching me phonetically and so forth how to literally write my name, and then expanded from there. Other things I became curious about and wanted to know, like my personal library collection I have, in an ironic kind of way, didn't start off from different books I began to read or book reports and so forth I did with my mother, but I actually started building my library collection and still collect to this day, little weird tidbit, I guess, about me, but our dictionaries, various Webster's that she, like, it became a part of your school supply list every year, and it was like it grew from there. I always wanted one, and I would be like, Mom, you know, I saw the new one out today, or my classmate, you know, I have one. I want, where's my new dictionary? I want another dictionary. And, you know, who knew? It just, like, grew from there. I really don't know what to say. I like to read a whole lot in school or not, but one thing I do know from kind of coming across some old report cards and progress reports of my grandmother, ironically, I do see and can recall being a very advanced reader, and I do know I was always at least two grade levels or so ahead of my peers and my classmates in my reading skills and whatnot. So who knew? I guess my mom knew, but I didn't know.
Right. Well, I have a funny story because you guys elaborated so well. One thing, I guess, as a child, I realized I was always inquisitive and nosy. And so my parents, they would spill stuff that they didn't want us to know about. But I was really smart, so I always would be able to, you know, if they spelled a word, I was like, oh, I got this, you know. And so they really weren't tricking me. But then there was one time they were talking about a family member, and they said J-O-S-E. And I was like, we do not have anybody in our family named Josie. Who is Josie? You know? And I was about in like second or third grade. And it just bothered me. So I went back to somebody else and I said, excuse me, what does J-O-S-E spell? And they were like, Jose. I was like, oh, we do have somebody named Jose. You know, it was just because I didn't like feeling like I didn't know what they were talking about. So it intrigued me to always really know, like, to learn what every word was. And when I would drive past signs, I would read, you know, like if I saw a sign, mm-hmm. I would sound it out, you know. So yeah. I think part of my nosiness and helped inspire me to really want to be more literate. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Actually, very funny, but that's true. Tamika, I like that. And I love her wording of inquisitive.
Basically, Tamika was nosy.
That's kind of how into literally what we are talking about, wanting to know stuff. I have always, and I still am to this day, and that. It's weird, I guess, I went into the area of education because, to be honest, I always would deny that. My mom would always say that to me, oh, you're going to be a teacher. I can see my baby doing this, and I'm going, no, I don't have patience and time to, you know, tell somebody how to figure this out. And I don't want to show somebody how you told me this and the way you taught me, because I was immediately on the next page with kind of learning maybe a shortcut or whatever back then we called it to something else. And things like that, and I'm thinking, I don't have time to show somebody to go through the process this way, and blah, 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 and lo and behold. But I love how you put that. That's really just something I coined about myself. I realized that is me, too. I like learning about, learning. I just like to know stuff, whatever, you know, just random. I guess it's partly why, like, sometimes I can just get caught up another little truthful
tidbit.
Yeah. It's just one of my favorite shows since I was in the second grade. And I remember it started.
What show was that?
Jeopardy. It's just like one of my favorite shows that was in second grade. And it started from, I can't even recall what the question or whatever it was, but whatever was said, I just remember sitting in front of the TV and I blurted out whatever I figured the answer was, because it was from something I remember coming across in a book in my class that day, and I just yelled out something thinking, oh, I don't know, that sounds like it's blah, blah, blah. And when that was the answer, I just got so hyped, like, oh, shoot, like, okay, I want to keep looking. I'm going to watch tomorrow, see what else I figure out, and this and that. And I love that implicitly, because that's how we learn things, with hearing wording as well, like the way she said, inquisitive, nosy. I learned all those little tricks.
I want to ask you all something.
Black is on the line too, so make sure you give him a shout out.
Okay,
oh, he's on the line. Oh, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Black, I say you're on the line.
Oh, just sitting here typing. Okay, cool.
Okay, well, I'm going to go into my next question. We all have had wonderful experiences in terms of literacy and wanting to learn and being inquisitive. Have you noticed in whether, you know, as an educator for you, Clarity, or for any of you all in the community, have you noticed a lagging interest in literacy or any issues with literacy?
Yes, I guess it's a condensed answer on that twofold question. There are some, I guess, just like we were talking about ourselves, there are always that child or children that you can kind of just see that natural curiosity.
spark in them of just wanting to first off, I guess, starting with wanting to hear you read to them, knowing, explaining even the basics of what you're doing in of itself, what a book is, telling them the parts of the book, what does this mean, what an author does, an illustrator, so forth, and then beginning with the way you tell a particular story to them. Then it kind of transpires to that to, okay, now when you're in instruction time, the same way and enthusiastically you're going about what you're trying to impart in them at that time. Then it, you know, kind of goes from there with, okay, now I want to try it. Let me try that and select the book, or let me read to you what I wrote for my homework or what I did today in art or my free time and et cetera. So, yeah, I do see it just the same as, I guess, on the flip side, you have, unfortunately, the opposite, which can span for many reasons as well. You do have that child where it's just like, okay, I'm not into this, I don't like it, whether it's because, you know, they don't get it. And even that, I guess, could delve into different avenues. I won't take up everybody's time, but that can be such a varied area as well, whether it's from, you know, coming from a home where it's not encouraged, coming from a home where maybe the parents themselves are struggling with literacy, you know, a varied but even like what was touched on earlier, also I have to keep in mind the era that we're in also is changing in terms of technology. You have some, you know, that tangible thing like we grew up with, I guess, of physically holding a book, whatever it could be, just holding something, turning pages, reading words contained on those pages. Depending on what it is, it's really, you know, not necessarily something encouraged in the way of the wave of things right now. It's all about whatever you can click, press, slide, scroll across, et cetera, you know, with in terms of reading.
Apostle, yeah, Rachel, let me ask you, I want to ask Apostle Rachel, with you being a mom and also a publisher, what is it that you do with your daughter, your youngest, as you all call baby girl, to encourage her to read and to be involved in literacy?
Well, let me tell you this. I was just about to say, I actually am so blessed. We have 5 children altogether. The rest are boys, and they're all older. And they didn't really have much of a passion for reading. We would try to give them books and encourage them to read and make them read 20 minutes, and it just was just a fight. But with her, she is very, very different. We don't have to encourage her to read. She loves to read. I mean, she grabs books, and she'll just sit down with, they do chapter books at school, and she'll read a whole book in 2 days. She'll reserve books at the library. So she is very, very passionate about reading. And as a matter of fact, through her reading, she actually has written, well, she's written 3 books. One of them is in the process of being published right now. But it's a story that she has written. And when I got it back from my interns that are doing the editing, I was blown away. I mean, I helped her, you know, here and there. Mama, what is this? And how does this work? And, you know, she would ask me small little details, and I would, you know, kind of help her with that. But when I read the story, I was blown away. I looked at her and said, girl, you are an awesome writer. So, you know, it's just a blessing for me that she loves to read. And I think it's probably a part of her destiny and her purpose, what God is calling her to do. But, you know, we do help to support her in that way. And she's telling us now, okay, well, I've got this book coming up next, and then I want to write this book. So we're trying to encourage her, you know, by helping to go ahead and publish her books. And I think it helps because she sees my husband and myself writing our books. And so then that inspired her and keeps her going. Whenever she sees me sitting down writing my book, she goes and works on her book. So I think that it seems, you know, that modeled in the home that she wants to glean from that and be a part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. Now, Tamika, you wanted to add something?
Well, I guess for me, I'm not a Black is muted. Fiona, so check on that. I just saw a message on his thing.
The
other thing is, I'm not a parent and I'm not an educator. But I was going to go further, but I love kids, and I'm always, you know, around kids, and I'm always trying to encourage them to read or whatever. But what I do realize is that, and please no offense to any educators, and I don't think it's the educator's issue either, but our system is flawed.
And I think we expect children to learn the same at the same rate, and it's impossible. I think it was a great scenario that the apostle gave with her boys and her daughter. There's various interests, and like Kiki said before too, there's various reasons why children are not literate. Sometimes it's the home, but sometimes there's also cases that kids are dyslexic and no one paid attention to those signs. And so I think as much as we promote the positive of literacy, we have to also delve into some of the obstacles, which, like Kiki said, that could go on forever. That would be another show. But I think that we have to, there's not a cookie-cutter way of doing things, and what inspires one kid is so different from the other. Even if they're able to read on a, you know, even if they're able, their interest is not always there. Like I said, I think with us, we all agreed that we were inquisitive, so that was a motivating factor. For some kids, there's so much other stuff going on in their world that reading is just not that priority. I was speaking with a teacher, and she was saying that she had a little kid that would come in, and he would sleep every day. But part of the reason he slept every day was because he was being abused at home at night.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, and I don't want to get into that topic, but I say that we have to look deeper into the why not more than just the why. And it's often easy to say the kid doesn't want to, and it's usually reasons why a kid is not progressing at the same level that other kids are.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that real quick because I was thinking about my daughter. She's in sixth grade now, but in fourth and fifth grade, there was a young man that was one of her classmates, and she came home and told me the young man couldn't read, and I couldn't fathom that. I'm like, what do you mean he can't read? I mean, in this day and age, why is he not able to read? What is the problem? And so, you know, I don't know, you know, what happened or what the issue was, but I could not fathom that. So I don't know if there's a developmental delay. I don't know if there's not support at home. You know, I don't know, but it floored me that in this day and age there was a child in elementary school that had gotten to the fifth grade that couldn't read. I just couldn't believe it.
Even beyond that, unfortunately, even, I guess, through our high school levels and, I guess, even more tragically, post-high school as well, especially in the area, and I'm just speaking from my personal experience through some friends and former acquaintances I knew in the area of sports. It happens, unfortunately, rampantly in that area, you know, for the sake of, that, I guess, that old mantra of like, well, you know, it's, you know, not my problem, let, you know, someone else deal with it, or let this one have it, deal with them next year, and so forth, and that game of basically just being, quote unquote, I guess, literally passed on or promoted forward. Meanwhile, you know, you're really just doing them a huge, huge disservice. And a lot of times, the child knows, the family, even, you know, whether it's one parent, what have you, their entire support system, but sometimes they're all caught up in the game, you know, in the hype as well of whatever it is that they may see that as the big picture, so to speak, or what have you, they kind of just go along with it, too, to get along. And it's sad. It's really sad because God forbid that particular gift, if you will, or whatever it is they're into, that falls apart, whether it be through injury, this, that, the other, then what do you have? And we see it, you know, so often just out here today, and it's really sad. You're now left out there virtually with no skills whatsoever, other than the physical, but once that's impaired, now what do we do? It's a little sad.
We have Black Ice on the line. Are you on the line now? Good morning.
Black?
Are you on the line?
And Glenda was on the line also.
I've been posting on this page. I'm writing to him.
I'm not, okay, well, we'll just continue. So if you happen to be chimed in, please go ahead and interject into the conversation. So we'll continue, but I definitely wanted to have our other guests to chime in and to have a conversation. We're actually going to extend our conversation another 10 minutes. So thank you to my awesome producer, Michael A. Spot. the next question that I wanted to ask you all in lieu of other guests coming on is what books or poets or, you know, spoken word artists are you all reading or listening to currently?
Great question. I guess to do my other favorite, like shameless plug, not so much of myself but other people, I'm actually in the midst of, in terms of listening to, I am literally listening to by CD, a young lady right here within the Hampton Roads area that is affectionately known as my child, though I can't quite call her that anymore. She's very much a grown young lady, beautiful poet. She was formerly with the Hampton Roads Youth Poets, now just doing some awesome things out here on her own by the name of Savantria Hawkins, that she goes by one word. It's her stage name, and just awesome young poet. I am listening heavy rotation in my car to her CD, first solo effort CD project entitled Speak My Peace. And I love that. As far as reading, a young lady that we came across at the National Poetry Awards by the name of Joy Elon, I'm reading her book of poetry. And I guess for the sake of doing a cheap plug, of course I delve to the pages of my own anthology, like, from time to time, my own. Which is entitled Wordplay Words Our Canvas. Shout out to
Awesome, okay. Anyone else want to share?
I actually have a young lady. I'm sorry. You can go ahead.
No, you go.
I have a young lady that we're actually in the process of publishing right now. Her name is Shakita Roberts, and she's in the Navy. She's stationed over in Japan right now, and she's got a YouTube channel, and we're setting up her website. But she is, really doing some phenomenal work over in Japan. She does a lot of the spoken word nights and poet nights, poetry nights over there. And so her work, we've been reading that, and it's awesome. She's doing a wonderful job. So we're excited. Her book will be released very soon here within the next couple of months.
Wonderful. Okay, Tanika?
Don't judge me. I have not been.
No judgment, though.
I have not, unfortunately, especially for leisure, have been reading anything. I have been working so hard. And I often am reading a lot of, like, filmmaking books right now because I'm looking to, just always trying to expand and grow as a filmmaker. I love being an author, but I do have this joy for filmmaking that I have come across. So I'm always reading how to be a better filmmaker and stuff like that, or blogs about filmmaking. And so I neglectfully have not been reading as many books leisurely.
But I like what you said. That's really important. You're reading about your craft. So even that right there is very, very important. So I got to come in and throw it in there, help us out. It's a very good thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
My fellow Nappy Combs co-star, shout out to him.
All right. Yeah.
Has anyone else chimed in? Black Ice, are you on the line?
Yeah, I guess it's a technical issue.
Yeah.
Sayana?
Yeah. Glenda Murray Kelly, she tried to call in and she wasn't able to get in, and she tried to call back. She had some issues, but she did want us to let you know, or to let the audience know. She says that literacy requires understanding, and understanding is a gift from God. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the spirit of understanding and knowledge, which is a gift of wisdom, and comes with it. I'm sorry, which is a gift, and wisdom comes with it as well as might. Therefore, we as authors have been gifted by God to express ourselves.
I know that's right.
That's my Glenda. I absolutely love her. She's actually the president of SEVA, which is the Southeastern Virginia Arts Association, and she embraced me into the organization, and we actually are having on Sunday here in the Hampton Roads area a literacy festival. And my own daughter, Clara, who's the co-author of A Letter to My Bully, will have a table. I'm going to have a table promoting my book, which is Powerhouse Pointers, Motivational Messages for Personal and Professional Empowerment. So if you are in the Hampton Roads area, please check it out. Go on Facebook, go on the website, and contact me. So that was just a little plug for the Hampton Roads area. I wanted to give a shout out to Black Ice. I wanted him to be on the line, but you know, sometimes technical difficulties do arise. But I want to read a little bit about him, and I'm going to have him on another show. Just because he's an awesome person, and I actually met him. Clarity? About two or 3 months ago, was it?
Yeah, this August.
Mm-hmm. Right, at the 5th Annual National Poetry Awards. But Black Ice is an American poet, an international spoken word life artist, an entertainer, lecturer, promoter, producer, host, published author, mentor, and activist. He's the founder of POET, that's capital POET, which stands for People of Extraordinary Talent. He is a four-time National Poetry Award winner, a Chicago Music Award winner, and a two-time Spoken Word Magazine winner. He is an awesome individual. He is at the pulse of literacy and empowerment in the Chicago area, and I just want to shout you out. You are amazing. You're an amazing person, and you have a heart for the youth and for spoken word and expression, so definitely shout out to him.
Yes. Yes, yes. All
right.
So, did Glenda message anything else that she wanted to share?
No, that was all.
I was so hoping to hear from her. I've talked to her for quite a while.
Yeah. So I'm a lover of literacy, and what I find amongst young men and boys in terms of literacy is it has to be something that they are truly interested in for them to gravitate towards. And you just can't give them a book and say read, because it's not going to pique their interest in particular. And with my own son, you know, he's into to building and so forth. So anything that deals with building, he gravitates towards, and those are the books that I strive to get. Of course, in school, there are certain things that they have to read. I understand that, but when it comes to leisure, those things that are going to grab him, I definitely build up his library in that way.
Yeah. Another thing with boys, there's a different, and I wish Black Ice was on because he could probably address this better, but boys, I think there's a different motivation. You know, as girls, we are taught, get a book, be dainty, whatever. And boys have fun, and it's hard for them to transition sometimes from, like, at 5 years old, where they're used to running, playing outside, and just being rough, and then to sit down for 5 minutes. And I think we do have to approach that differently, like you said, Fiona. I think if they like building, or if they like, the sci-fi books, whatever it is to allow them to get a passion to read, you encourage that with them.
Right, absolutely.
And then I think, and then I also think that boys sometimes, especially because it's more important for them to be cool, they are, by their peers, encouraged to dumb down sometimes, too.
Yeah,
so favorite words or expressions, rather. Yes, dumbing it down. Oh, gosh. And even our young ladies fall victim to that. I as to that. But, yes, that exactly how you put it, thing of how to look among the masses or what have you versus maybe being true
to really the only person that matters and what should matter with your educational journey, which is yourself. It's like, mm-hmm. unless, you know, you have the occasion of maybe having some supportive friends and so forth. But, mm-hmm. yeah, like, unfortunately, that is true. It's almost like this celebrated dumbness, I hate to say, but of, okay, well, of not necessarily accelerating and doing what have you, and it's like, oh, okay, let me not talk about and boast on my A paper or whatever the case may be, my achievements and so forth, and that fact that I know that word and I understand what this means versus maybe the ability to flip it in layman's terms, but I can understand it technically and this and that. It's like, oh, you know, you're a nerd, you're weird, you're this, you're that, when it's really sad. You know, in fact, it should be celebrated because I just remember something back then we were always taught, and I still hear it today from professors I had at Norfolk State as well. It's like, you know, okay, that kid, you're kind of joking on that way and feeling that particular way about this, you know, someday you will be working for him. It's like, you know, they would always say that. It's like, you can boss someday or whatever. Because, you know,
ladies, we actually are almost out of time, but we had a lively and in-depth and deep conversation. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in and being a part of today's show. And I want to thank all who listened in this morning. We are going to have, as I said earlier, Black Ice on a future show. And I just want everyone to have a wonderful day. Let me know what you thought of the conversation on Facebook, and have a blessed and prosperous Tuesday and remainder of the week. Thank you, ladies.
All right,
thank you.
Have a good day, ladies. Bye-bye.